Before we sit, I'd like to do something that might seem to you a little bit unconventional, but there's a reason for it. Usually at this time of the day, after a meal, as I mentioned earlier, there's a tendency to be a little bit droopy, and I don't want that to be a hypnotic induction when I say that, but just it's a fact. And in saying that, I'm also reminding us that our energy ebbs and flows through the day anyway. And there is a continual fluctuation in our both the strength of our mind, the steadiness, the brightness, the energy to practice, and the quality of tranquility. But especially after lunch, the tranquility goes up and the energy goes down. And so we can, and it's really necessary in the course of our practice for us to creatively respond to this imbalance in energy. It's not to judge it. It's not to create a whole new identity around the one who's got low energy. But it's simply to see what may be helpful to balance and to find a sense of wise energy. So I've used, in general, in this context, I've used two different devices in the past. One is to chant a little bit, sing a song, and sometimes to do it in such a way that it speeds up and it gets us all riled up. The other is to use jokes. Humor. And I want to share one of the humorous devices that I've used over the years, or the humorous passages. And I was particularly inspired to do this at this place that does have a, feels a little bit like a church. Does it feel a little bit like a church to you? Anyway, I thought you might appreciate this, and maybe some of you have seen heard these before on the internet or whatever, but this is a, these are humorous, here's what it says, sometimes the word arrangement in church bulletins is humorous. Below are some examples. All are authentic, taken directly from announcements made in various churches. So you might imagine walking in here if it was a church and seeing the bulletin board, and here's what you would find. This afternoon there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. Tuesday at 4 p.m. there will be an ice cream social. All ladies giving milk, please come early. Wednesday, the Ladies Literary Society will meet. Mrs. Johnson will sing, quote, "Put Me in My Little Bed," accompanied by the pastor. Thursday at 5 p.m., there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All wishing to become little mothers will please meet with the minister in his study. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Brown to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. The service will close with, quote, "little drops of water." One of the men will start quietly and the rest of the congregation will join in. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They can be seen in the church basement on Friday afternoon. On Sunday, a special collection will be taken to defray the expense of the new carpet. All wishing to do something on the carpet, please come forward and get a few. I'll save a few for tomorrow, but I'll just say, share two more. low self-esteem group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Last but not least, a little edgy. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. Anyway. Okay. This wasn't just to have a good time. I'd like you to now close your eyes and just feel the change in your energy system from... See if that perks you up a little bit. It's a reminder that it's a good thing to have a good laugh as much as we can in our life. Because otherwise, as Wavy Gravy would say, otherwise it's not funny. So we feel our energy system perhaps a little aroused. And once again we come back to stillness. Seeing if we can accommodate and allow that sense of aliveness. And continuing to sense how our body's breathing. With as little interference or manipulation as possible. And continue to let the breath be a place of home, an anchor for our attention in the present moment. There's nothing predominant. I'd also like to expand the field of the meditation. To another realm of experience that is just part of our life. In some ways, the instructions are not a prescription of what you should notice, but just a description of what you will naturally notice as you settle back and meet the moments unfolding with openness. I'd like to expand to include the whole realm of physical sensations other than the sensations of the breath. From time to time, other sensations will become stronger than the breath, will move to the foreground of awareness, call our attention, the breath will recede to the background. And because this is equal opportunity mindfulness, we treat that predominant sensation as equal, as an equal opportunity. And so we don't try to get back to the breath. Although we did give this morning selective attention to the breath, return to it again and again. But at the point where something becomes stronger than the breath, that can be known, we treat it equally and we let it fill our awareness. We let ourselves become interested in that predominant experience. And in the field of sensations, that could be aching or burning, or stabbing, or itching, or tingling, or squeezing, or searing, or vibrating. It could be a change of temperature, heaviness, hardness. It could be any flavor of sensation. And our practice is to receive that predominant sensation, sense its quality, completely accept that it has presented itself, and then investigate its behavior. What happens to it? How does that feeling of aching behave when it meets the light of attention? Does it get stronger? Does it seemingly stay the same? Does it weaken? Does it change into some other sensation? We meet it with open awareness, attention, without any agenda at all. We don't observe it in order for it to go away, to change. But but we simply observe it as the Dharma, as the truth of how things are. It's likely that whatever we pay attention to will reveal itself, though, as dynamic, as a changing condition. Our job is simply to notice and feel that experience from the inside with full awareness. And in the course of feeling the range of sensations, it's likely to become more obvious that some sensations have a feeling tone, a valence accompanying them, arising simultaneously with that sensation, a feeling tone of either pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant or unpleasant, otherwise known as neutral. I'll speak of this later, but that this feeling tone that accompanies every experience often is the springboard to a whole series of events culminating in the story of our lives. And there's an opportunity to come closer to the ground of experience, intimately feeling the flavor of those six sense experiences that repeat themselves over and over: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. And to sense that each has a little feeling tone. Generally, when it's pleasant, there's a tendency to like it. Unpleasant, to not like it. When it's neutral, often it goes unnoticed, or we space out. So without turning it into a project of noticing the feeling tone, you may notice either the quality of sensation or its valence, its feeling tone. In any case, when a sensation is predominant, allow it to be the center of your meditation for that time. And when it's no longer predominant, compelling, or has passed away, in that openness, in the service of remaining anchored to this unfolding present, we gently reconnect again to the body's breath. Receiving the breath with a sky-like impartiality, quality of acceptance. Knowing a short breath when it's short, a long breath when it's long, a rough breath, a smooth breath. One half breath at a time. Staying in contact with awareness in the gaps between the breath, if you notice them. Taking care of the present experience and letting the future take care of itself. There's only this unfolding present. As Alan Watts called, only this eternal now. So don't miss it. It's all there is. Just this moment. Just this breath.